The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Last night, the Lakers lost to the Kings without those two, AD and LeBron. Jalen, are you concerned about the Lakers right now?
As a matter of fact, they lost 7 out of 10, but all I know is when they got LeBron and AD, they won't be challenged. Man, start the show.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
What up, though? We give the people what they want.
We have my guy, Eddie Wong, joining us later on in the program. But we start with a big game in the NBA last night between two of the hottest teams in the league. That, of course, is the Utah Jazz and the 76ers. And it was Joel Embiid and the 76ers that came out on top. What did you think of this statement win by Philly?
This is what I'm talking about, JoJo. This is what I'm talking about, JoJo. Show them that the modern day big is back. Yeah, you shooting the three, but the majority of your work is getting done inside of that line and getting done inside of the paint. And when you got small guys on you, you're punishing them. When you got big guys on them, you're showing your versatility, hitting J's on them. But then you also bullying them too. I appreciate what I'm seeing from JoJo this year. He's clearly the difference in this matchup, was very dominant. And yes, the Utah Jazz were upset about a couple of calls that didn't go their way. But yep, that physicality that I see from him is terrific if you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan. 40-10, 4 or 5 times this year. No other player comes close.
If you are a Philly fan, you are also happy about the performance of not just Joel Embiid, but also Tobias Harris, who took over in the overtime and got buckets and got them the win. How important is Toby's performance for the success of this team as they move into the playoffs?
Extremely important. And the coaches should be paying attention and didn't put him on the All-Star team. He's balling on the number one seed. And when it's time to go to overtime, if you're not giving it to Ben Simmons, you're giving it to Tobias Harris. And you said he scored 11 big points. They needed all of them. They needed his size against certain matchups to take advantage of right there on the post. And so he's going to be a key factor, obviously, if they're going to do anything special.
A factor in this game was the refereeing. Donovan Mitchell was ejected in the game, and he had some very choice words after the game about the way it was called. What did you think about his ejection and the way this game was called?
Well, basically taking you behind the curtain. What Spider Mitchell is basically saying is the Utah Jazz have the best record in the NBA. We don't have a team full of players that complain about every call. We don't have a coaching staff that jumps up and complain about every call, yet we don't get the benefit of the whistle. And there were a couple of close plays that went against them. Yep. The Royce Young save that was the correct call. The Joel Embiid, the wait, Royce O'Neal. The Joel Embiid physicality down low against Gobert on that play, and then the offensive rebound when Joel got the ball stuck against the rim. That was a call that went against them as well. So the Utah Jazz had a couple of plays that were really close. But again, this game was all about the dominance of Joel Embiid. And when you have Rudy Gobert, you expect him to slow him down a little bit.
Yeah, you
gotta slow him down a little bit,
dog. 40, maybe 30.
You gotta slow him down a little bit, dog.
You're the defensive player of the year. You're a center. You're going up against the best center in the league. You're supposed to hold him under 40. Well, Mr. Rose, when it gets late in the fourth quarter, you know what time it is?
Dame time.
It's always Dame time. It's always Dame time. Time and time again, this young man hits clutch threes like that one to finish games. Jalen, what do you think about not just his performance last night, but what he's been doing all season in the clutch?
I think like Drake, I'm upset.
You're upset?
I'm really upset.
Oh, what's
because
wrong, Jay?
Dame has been doing four bar Friday for 7 to 8 years. He's been balling like this for the Portland Trail Blazers and leading them to the playoffs every year since his rookie season. And every year we do all of these lists about who the top players in the league. And I remember vividly putting him in front of players like Anthony Davis, and people was like, oh, how can you do that? All I know is this, Dame Dollar behind Steph Curry has continued to validate himself as an elite point guard, but also a top five player in this league. A top five player in this league. And when you get confused, just think about this. It's 30 seconds to go. It's 20 seconds to go. It's 10 seconds to go. And you're Giannis. And you come out of the huddle. Who do you want to get a ball to? Yourself to make a play? Or the Dame to make a play? So when you start talking about who's the best players, you got to also factor in who you're going to give the ball to when it matters the most. Top five, DOA.
Well, another top five player in the NBA was in action last night, and that is James Harden wearing a Nets jersey going into Houston, getting a little love there from the crowd. And of course, he just messed around and got a triple-double once again. What do you think about the way Harden's playing and the way he was received in Houston?
A song comes to mind. Nothing but smooth sailing tonight. That's what I, like, it's almost like he's that dude at rec that's playing with headphones on, and you really mad because you hate running with that dude, because basketball is actually about communication, and I can't really communicate with you if you're listening to music or a podcast during the game. That's how it seems James Harden is playing, at his own pace, at his own speed, and picking and choosing when he wants to be dominant offensively. But I want to give you a nugget, because I want to go deeper into the box score. The Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat. Both of those teams right now in the regular season, if you're watching,
let's look at the standings.
Okay. Are practicing picking up 75 feet. Are practicing picking up 94 feet. And I guarantee you, the number one player on their bulletin board for that idea is James Harden. Because if you're an opponent of the Nets, you must force James Harden to pass the ball early in the shot clock, try to deny him, and make him work to get it back. Because you know the one weakness that he has, and every player has one. Everybody has a blemish, all of us.
Sure.
The one thing is when he gives that ball up, he ain't working to get it back. And when he gives that ball up, he ain't moving without it. They got a couple of plays where they throw it to the elbow. They did a terrific play last night that led to DeAndre Jordan had a layup, Jacoby, a layup. He kicked it out for a three. So if it was at the end of the game, like against the Hornets or against the Nuggets, people would be saying, oh, why did he take the dunk? That just embodies today's game. James Harden is a dominant player in today's game. You must not let him have a walk in the park. You must take the basketball out of his hands or you in trouble.
Well, you know, when the New York Jets are in the news, it is not good news. And this is interesting from the Jets GM, Joe Douglas, says that he will listen to calls about Sam Darnold. My question for you, Jalen, is will anyone make any calls to Joe Douglas about Sam Darnold?
So I just appreciate how the quarterback position on a team was almost treated like an elitist. Like, you can't even... Don't even talk about their backup, or don't even talk about drafting somebody at their position. And oh my God, the Green Bay Packers had the nerve to draft Jordan Love in the first round. When you're building a team, you're gonna draft people for every position. That's how this works. Am I bugging or what? This is his job.
I mean, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, then you should be looking at your quarterback position and looking to upgrade any way you can. And if you have the number two pick in a draft with a lot of quarterbacks and you're not so happy with Sam Darnold, you should probably take a quarterback with that spot. I think that Fields will end up in the green of the New York Jets after draft night.
He's a beast. I would love for him to end up with the Lions, but he's not going to fall that far.
No. He's not going to fall that far. Jalen, it's time for What's Your Number? Jalen, You've heard of the body shot challenge. That is when human beings put on some padding and get punched in the stomach by Ryan Garcia, an extremely powerful puncher. The latest is Juju Smith-Schuster to become punishment for Ryan Garcia. My question for you, Mr. Rose, what is your number to participate in the body shot challenge? Get punched in the stomach by Ryan Garcia.
I'll do that for a meal. It for a meal.
900,000, yeah. You're saying no. You're saying no to 900,000.
No, I'm negotiating at that point. If you don't even come with 900, we're not even negotiating. And the reason why I say that is because I got to be willing to break a rib. And for Juju, yeah. Professional football player, I'm pretty sure somebody in his life or somebody on his team and was like, you know, you kind of get paid millions of dollars to play football. Like, it's great that this is going to be a viral clip, but the less pounding you take as a professional athlete, almost like being a used car, is the better. But I just appreciate that he has a bubbly personality and he's willing to put himself in harm's way. But if I'm going to do it, and I'll ask you next, it'll cost $1 million. How much for you?
$5,000 American dollars. But here's the thing, is I know after I get hit once, I'm not like Juju. I'm gonna get hit once, I'm gonna be on the floor. And I'm not gonna stand, I'm not gonna take 10 shots. Once I get hit once, I'll be on the floor. Jalen, what are you reaching for? What are you reaching for, Mr. Rose? Done. Are you walking around with $5,000 American dollars? Why do you always have so much money? One thing I will never understand about you is why you will always have so much cash. Jalen, who
is going... Let me tell you why. Because I grew up in a country where we weren't always allowed to own things. I grew up in a country where we didn't always have credit. I was in the NBA and didn't even know I had a credit score in the mid-90s, okay? So you keep cash, rules, everything around me.
Jalen, joining us on the program is my friend Eddie Wong, the director of this film, Boogie, which is out now and available featuring Pop Smoke. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this interview coming up next on Jalen.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck on Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, joining us on the program right now, is not just a television host, or a chef, or a restaurateur, or an entrepreneur. He is now a writer and director of the hit film Boogie, out right now, and he is the number one Knicks fan. Eddie, let's celebrate the Knicks while we still can. How do you feel about your New York Knicks right now?
Yo, if you told me my movie was coming out and the Knicks were going to be 500, man, I would slap you 3 times.
He's on his Busta Rhyme, New York-ish. Yep. And I'm love to see it. But however, the Nets have KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. They're a championship-level favorite in the East. Do you think New York can ever become a Nets town?
I don't know who the Nets are. That, like, my answer to this is like Mariah to J-Lo. I don't know her.
So explain to the people that don't live in New York why the Nets can have 3 superstars and soon to be number one in the Eastern Conference, but the Knicks just being 500 will light the city on fire like the Nets can't.
Yo, because, yo, have you been to the Barclays? Like, they try to kill poor people in there. The upper deck is so on a tilt, like, you can't even walk down that thing, man. The Nets... I'm just not with the Nets, man. I'm not with the Nets. Like, I lived in Fort Greene when they built the Barclays, and is we all Knicks fans, man. You know?
You're making your directorial debut in the film that you wrote and directed about New York, a New York basketball phenom. What was the process of getting this film made?
Oh, it was a very, very difficult process, man. Like, this is definitely a film that when I first presented it, even my own agents at the time were like, bro, you trying to make a sports film, which people don't really want to make. You got an Asian American male lead. We don't have any Asian American male actors that sweep clean at the box office. It's coming of age, it's teen. They're like, these buckets are just very difficult to do a film. But I was like, I want our love in basketball. You know, like I would love to have one of those. And I learned pretty much most of my life lessons on the basketball court, because I come from a very, very traditional Taiwanese-Chinese home. And my way of interacting with America originally was through basketball. That's where I got to meet people through different cultures and see how like all our cultures and values collide. And that was always the best thing to me.
Starring in the film is someone we tragically lost, Pop Smoke, the artist and now actor. What was it like meeting him? How did you cast him? How did that work?
Well, Pop came through to my apartment building after he did a show in Connecticut. He came with nine of his homies, and we just started playing ball. And I ran him through lines, and initially he was a little stiff reading lines, and it was interesting to see him kind of like worried. And I was like, "Yo, Pop, you got this, man. Like, this is all sauce. At the end of the day, like, if you change the words and the words, you know, they don't feel right, like, do your thing. But it's just about being the person, and you are this person. You are this character. You got it." And I had never seen anyone take a note, take advice, and turn it on a dime just like that. Like, Pop could turn it on and turn it off whenever he wanted, and he was absolutely fearless person. And I just feel blessed that I got to be his friend. You know, he's the best.
And his music is timeless. Also, growing up as a basketball player and a fan, I always appreciate a good basketball movie. So what was the inspiration behind this story, and what is something that you want fans to take away from after they see Boogie?
Well, you know, the inspiration for this was Good Will Hunting. I grew up in a family with a lot of violence, and, you know, everyone in my aunts and uncles knew about it, but nobody really helped out. And one day I was watching Good Will Hunting with my aunt, and I saw Ben Affleck and Matt Damon talking about domestic violence and the effect on kids. And I was like, I got nothing in common with these white dudes from Boston, but man, this film changed my life. Because for once, I felt like I was able to speak about the violence in my home and that I felt less alien. And I said, I want to make a film one day so kids like me will feel less alien as well. Because, you know, we don't talk to the police about it. We don't really talk to social workers. And, you know, you need art as an outlet sometimes.
So, you know, there aren't too many people that look like you that are making films and starring in films. How important was it for you that this be a representation of the Asian American experience?
Very important. You know, I've been fighting for that my whole life is to get people, Asian people, on base. And not just that, but I wanted to do a film specifically that showed Asian people with Black people, with Latino people, because that is my experience. And that is what I love about America. If I just wanted to live with Asian people, I could move back to China with my parents. Like, my entire family moved back to China, but I stayed here because I love America and the ability to live in a diverse society and learn from other people and other cultures. And you know, that's what makes this country beautiful.
I love and appreciate that about you, because as you know, that's a fight that me and my people continue to have in this country, and I applaud you for doing so. But I heard a rumor. You and Jacoby actually played hoops together before?
Yeah.
So what do you remember from his game? And what about your game, if you wanted to compare yourself to another player? Who is your game like?
Oh, Jacoby is like Z-Bo, dog. You know, he gets you he gets you 20 and 10, but that ball ain't coming back out. You know? Yeah. No, I got the Eric Gordon jumper. You know, I put my butt out. It's funny, I got the Eric Gordon jumper. But I really play like Mark Jackson. Like, I like to post people up, and if I got a boogie on you, I get my dancing bear on. But I'm like Mark Jackson meets Eric Gordon, but I lead my league in fouls. I'm the enforcer, you know. I'm the Draymond of the squad.
Real intimidating. Extremely intimidating on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we are going to say goodbye on television, but don't forget there's always exclusive content on our podcast with this man, the writer and director of the excellent film Boogie. Thank you so much for joining us, Eddie.
Yo, I just want to say, too, thank you, Jacoby and Jalen. You was a huge inspiration to me growing up, dog. Huge.
Thank you, family. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All respect.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. More Jalen Jacoby right after this.
Got to give the people.
Huge night of college basketball on ESPN starting at 7 p.m. The rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State. And then at 9 p.m., another rivalry game. It is Texas against Oklahoma. All of that college basketball action is on ESPN this evening. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Of course, you watch us on television, but don't forget to subscribe and download to our podcast where we always have exclusive content you can only get on the podcast. Jalen, no big deal. Just our favorite player in the NBA, LaMelo Ball, guiding the Hornets to another victory. He is one of one, and he had 19 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists last night in a big win against the Timberwolves. When is everyone going to catch up and recognize the greatness of LaMelo Ball?
Shining star for you to see. You tried to tell him at the draft, Jacoby. What was your sentence?
Any GM that does not pick LaMelo Ball that has an opportunity will regret it, and I think there are two GMs that do right now. Now, Jalen, we don't do this often, but we're going to talk about the Detroit Pistons. Why? Because two Pistons had triple-doubles last night. Four players had triple-doubles last night. The fifth time in the history of the league that there's been four players with triple-doubles. Jalen, see two Pistons on that list.
Shout to TJ McConnell with the 10 steals. Indiana getting ready for that full court D. But it's all about the Detroit Pistons. Dennis Smith getting a rebirth in Detroit. I see you, Plumlee. Put in that work.
It is not all about the Detroit Pistons. It is never all about the Detroit Pistons. It's all about the New York Knicks, baby. The New York Knicks are going to the playoffs this year. And we're going to be back tomorrow at 2 p.m.